Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
And if you're one of our Patreon supporters, this is your extended ad-free version of the show. Thank you to patrons, including DW, Matt Dawson-Jones, and Stephen Huxtable, who are supporting us directly amongst many others of you. And you can join them and get access to our full-length ad-free show and our Patreon-exclusive weekly sister show, Extra Message, and a whole bunch more things by going to patreon.com/UKTech. Ian, we're back.
Nate. Yeah, we're back.
I was trying to think, what is the equivalent thing that I missed like you? And I don't know what it, I think if I went a month without my skin on, I'd miss that enormously. And I feel that's analogous to how I feel about you.
I think if someone took your skin off you, I think you'd miss it immediately. I don't think you'd need to wait a month.
I think it would culminate in the end of the month being relieved that I had my skin back, and that's how I feel to be podcasting with you again, Chief.
Certainly think so, yeah. Yeah, no, it's been good. I feel as relieved as I would if I'd waited 48 hours for a wee.
Thank you to everyone who has stuck with us and sent us feedback while we've been off. It's been, I've missed everybody. It's not just Ian that I miss in times like this in the absence of a podcast. I miss all of you as well. We did have quite a lot of feedback come in actually while we were offline, and I've picked a couple to turn to during this week's show. And I wanted to start just before we jump into the news with this that came in from Miranda. If you remember, we were talking about very old MP3 players quite a few weeks ago. Miranda wrote in and said, my 2007 Barbie MP3 player is the best gift my parents gave me. I did not use the online platform, but the experience of going to my dad with my Taylor Swift CDs and sitting with him while he transferred them onto our family computer as I told him what songs I wanted added was an experience that I cherish. Mattel's quote-unquote slutty MP3 player allowed me to listen to my own music. It gave me freedom that I otherwise would not have had. I still have this MP3 player. It still works. It still has music on it. I can still put new music on it. Regards, nice. Miranda and her slutty MP3 player. That's good to know. Yeah. I don't have my first portable music player, which was a Sonic the Hedgehog cassette player from Boots, which I got for Christmas one year. It only fast-forwarded. If you wanted to rewind it, you needed to turn the tape over, fast-forward the other side, and then turn the tape back. Incredibly inefficient.
Yeah, I mean, they would have saved themselves like one component doing that.
Yeah. But again, this was the 1980s. Things were different back then. Well, thank you, Miranda. And we shall come back to some more feedback as we go through today's show. But let's jump into a bit of news. This one is a fun one, Ian. We're going to have some fun batting this around. A UK national security advisor said that Boris Johnson, our beloved prime minister here in the United Kingdom, should be much more digitally secure after reports that the Prime Minister's mobile number has been available online for the past 15 years. This is per a write-up in The Guardian. The paper wrote that Peter Ricketts said Johnson's phone conversations may well include, quote, sensitive material and people trying to lobby for favours, tax advantages, or talks with foreign leaders. This, of course, comes about after a contact number for Johnson was listed on the bottom of a press release when he was still shadow higher education minister about 15 years ago. The document was still online as recently as this week. It was actually still online as recently as 2 hours ago when I checked. The website Pop Bitch, which I'd never heard of, was the first
what?
To...
You've never heard of Pop Bitch?
No. What is
wow.
it?
Wow. It's a gossip site that unfortunately is quite well informed about what's going on. So it's you get a lot of sort of scandals that the press won't write about in Pop Bitch. Anyway, sorry, carry
Maybe
on.
Maybe there's a reason they don't write about them. Anyway,
well, yes, because they might not be true, but they often are.
Yes. Well, here's some other things that are often true. The Guardian wrote that the reports this month had suggested that senior officials were advising or have advised Boris to change his number because of concerns about how many people contacted him directly. And the press release in question, which we're not going to link to because it doesn't feel right, but it's not that hard to find. It related to his work as a shadow minister, as we said, but invited journalists to contact him directly on either his Commons office number or his mobile, and then listed the number. Now, this was a bit silly of him, wasn't it, Ian?
Yeah, just a touch, yeah.
So I thought we'd have a bit of fun because, well, I'm a journalist, so I thought I'd give him a call.
Oh, great. Okay, that sounds delightful. What are we going to ask him about?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I promised that I'd call him live on air. Because it's public and it says it invites journalists to call. I am a journalist, so I'm going to give him a bell. I don't know what to expect. All I'm going to do is I'm going to turn up my phone here. Just turning up the volume. And we're going
probably a visit from the security services.
Well, you know, that's a risk that we all have to play. But
not really. I mean, it's only ringing a phone, isn't it?
Well, at the end of the day, if nothing else, I can get his right to reply. I'm talking about him. I want to give him a chance to comment. And as a journalist, that is basically what I do all day, every day. So I'm dialing
I'm assuming that Boris won't be able to hear me if we have a conversation.
Boris won't hear you. No. There we go. Right. Let's see what happens, shall we? I'm pressing the call button now.
Switched off. Oh. Please try later or send a text.
That's
disappointing. This person's phone is switched off. Please try later or send a text.
He hasn't even got... should we send a text?
I was going to say, I'll send him a text. I'll do that. I'll do that later because that won't be as interesting to listen to. That's a shame. I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised, let's be honest. As soon as that information was out there, it was clear that people were going to start ringing him.
I mean, I have a few thoughts on this. I mean, at the end of the day... He wasn't always the Prime Minister. I mean, my phone number is very easy to find out because I'm a journalist and I need people to call me. If in 15 years' time I'm the Prime Minister, which I'm sure I will be, it's not exactly going to come as a huge surprise or seem like a massive scandal if anyone says, well, we found his phone number on a website because 15 years ago he used to be a journalist. I mean, Matt Warman, our digital secretary, I have his phone number as well. Because he used to be a journalist. And yeah, exactly. And, you know, I could call him, but...
Amazingly, I seem to have resisted that temptation.
Yeah. Yes, well, this isn't about Matt, but once had a very nice chat with Matt sitting in the back of a taxi in Barcelona. But we don't need to talk about that particular fact right now. So what do you think about all this scandal? Ian.
Well, like you, my phone number's out there too, thanks to Mark Zuckerberg, who managed to leak it all over the internet to any hacker who wants to text me with a Royal Mail scam, as has recently happened. So, so that's frustrating. So it's not always people's fault that their phone number is out there, just sometimes it happens. But I don't really understand this is much of a problem. It's very easy to shut down a mobile number, you know, if they're... security services are concerned about it, then there's, it's not the end of the world for them to just say, right, that's going away now. You're going to have to just use this government-issued phone from now on.
And that does seem to be what has happened here.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that makes sense. I think I can't imagine that a Prime Minister of the UK would be, well, I mean, allowed is a difficult term because obviously there's nothing you could do to stop the Prime Minister from doing what he wants, I would imagine. I would expect that the information, the advice from the security services would be, here's a secure phone, use this, please. And that would be an end of it, right? You know, I mean, everyone's going to keep their own personal mobile, presumably, because they're going to want to keep in touch with friends and family. But from a day-to-day use, I would expect that it would be encouraged that they use a work phone. I'm sure they've got all sorts of things they could do to secure any sort of device anyway, but
well, yes, I'm sure Hillary Clinton had some views on the use of personal communications tools that that could be passed over. Well, I'm sorry to everyone who wanted to hear from Boris talk about this. I did try and call him, but he could not be reached. Proof is in the pudding there. The pudding, of course, being what we just did. But if you have views on this, you can send your feedback to us using hello at uktechshow@icloud.com, which is available on the internet and hopefully will be for at least 15 more years. You can check in 15 years' time by going to Pop Bitch.
You're used to hearing the smooth, velvet sound of Nate's voice drizzled over your ears like a warm eardrum syrup, topped off with the freshly squeezed citrus tang of an Ian Morris opinion. Supporters of the show at patreon.com/UKTech enjoy second helpings every week. So pull up a chair, find your nearest spoon, and tuck into a sumptuous extra helping with no commitment. If you have any allergies, please inform a waiter.
Reported in the blogs this week that Apple is working on a higher resolution audio streaming plan for Apple Music, similar, I believe, to the lossless music plans offered by Tidal and Amazon. 9to5Mac, however, went a bit of a step further in confirming that there is code in the unreleased iOS 14.6, which is the next big release of software for Apple's mobile devices, which suggests support for hi-fi songs coming to Apple Music in the near future. The blog wrote that Apple is expected to announce hi-fi support on Apple Music in the coming weeks, and that it would cost the same $9.99 per month as the regular subscription. Which would be a very interesting move. The blog said that in the first beta build of iOS 14.6, which was released to developers last week, hasn't yet been released to the public, as I said, 9to5Mac founded the code added to the music app, and it specifically mentions Dolby Atmos, Dolby Audio, and lossless. Now, lossless is already supported in the app because you can use FLAC and you can use Apple Lossless Audio Codec, the ALAC standard, but it's never offered support for Dolby Atmos or Dolby Audio in the music app. It does support it at the operating system level for videos, but this is specifically in reference to audio. There is another interesting aspect to this, which is that the first beta referenced these additions, but the second beta, which just came out, doesn't. And 9to5Mac suggested that this... the mentioning of Atmos and Dolby Audio maybe does in fact relate to something that Apple is trying to hide. But this is all very exciting. I've been banging on about this for years, really. And it's always intrigued me to think about, well, what would Apple do that it could say, well, we do what everyone else is doing, but we're doing it better, and that's because X.
And for the same price, crucially.
Well, this is the thing. So maybe what it would be is that it would cost exactly the same, but by supporting something like Dolby Atmos, you are able to offer surround sound or virtual surround sound audio. Lots of bands have their music mastered in 5.1, for instance.
Do they? I mean, is that actually quite common?
I wouldn't say it's common, but certainly... certainly it is a well-known thing, or for things like live music. You know, a live music DVD is routinely mixed in 5.1. So being able to say, well, we can offer this live streaming music experience through Apple Music, and if you've got, you know, whatever headphones support it, because Bluetooth would struggle to stream lossless surround sound without some sort of support, it could be done, and it could go over and above what Spotify and Tidal and others are able to offer. which all makes me very, very excited indeed, because I think Dolby Atmos and the spatial audio that Apple supports with its AirPods is extremely effective and is very good fun.
I would I'd love to see Atmos music. That would be fantastic. I've recently had this idea for something I'd like to try. I'm going to be redoing a room downstairs, and I want to. It'll be my sort of guest room / study, and I'm thinking about putting ceiling speakers in, because I'd like to be able to have it available to test Atmos soundtracks and music particularly. And it would be absolutely wonderful if there was actually a streaming music service where I could find Atmos recorded tracks and listen to them. It'd be really, really good. And Dolby this year actually sent me a promotional thing. I think it was... Oh, yeah, it was Valentine's Day. It was like, these songs are available in Atmos on certain services. I didn't have anything that I could listen to it on, unfortunately. Although you can do Atmos on Windows. There's a plugin you can buy. It's about 10 quid, I think, that enables you to listen to it. And I've tried it with Forza Horizon. And it's fantastic. Like, it really is mind-blowing. Even on a normal pair of headphones, it's surprisingly good. I had a pair of open-backed Audio Technicas that were gaming orientated, but the sound quality was fantastic. And, you know, planes taking off, you could really position it. It really sort of felt like it was happening. Not only where you knew where it was happening, but it also didn't sound like it was coming out of a speaker next to your ear. It sounded like it was coming from... you know, 3 miles away. It was fantastic. So,
can I ask a question?
Yes,
of course. Ask a question. What is the difference between Dolby Atmos and Dolby Audio?
Well, Atmos is the... So, in days gone by, to be honest, Dolby Audio, I'm a little less clear on. I imagine it's...
Is it what basically used to be Dolby Digital, which is usually...
I think so, yeah.
It's more stereo and maybe 5.1
well,
based.
Multi-channel, yeah.
Atmos is more like... you know, a million virtual points of positioning audio.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Atmos uses metadata to steer audio, so rather than being reliant on steering to a specific speaker, the computer programs the metadata so that the it appears to be coming from lots of different points. And the core components of that in a cinema are quite a lot of overhead speakers, quite a lot of speakers along the, you know, the standard cinema setup is having several surround speakers all down the walls, but that in a cinema it works better than anything else, because obviously you've got all those speakers anyway, so positioning audio using lots of speakers becomes much easier, and the results of it are phenomenal. It is an incredible system.
Apple wants to get into, you know, it's massively pushing its services products with Apple TV Plus, Apple Music, and so on and so forth. And if I had to hazard a guess here, I would say it wouldn't be unrealistic to believe that Apple would start streaming a lot more things like live concerts that are perhaps live. And if they were recorded in
Well, they have
Atmos,
a music channel, don't they, that recently launched in the UK?
Yes, and it's been around in the US for quite a while. And this is in addition to the radio. This isn't Beats One. This is something else. But it would be a compelling offering to say, well, look, we're going to stream these live concerts. And whether you're streaming them live or watching them after the fact, if you've got, you know, whichever supported products, headphones are needed, you can experience this in Dolby Atmos within the music app. I'd find that very, very compelling, because the spatial audio does work very well with films, and it would definitely be something that Apple is, I would say, is in a unique position to offer over and above the competition. So it'd be very interesting. This is all pure speculation. I just wanted to talk about this. And at such a point this is announced, we'll come back to it and dissect it in more detail. But this is exciting. And lossless music would be great. High res audio, particularly if you're using a hi-fi, is
yes. Well, I'm
very well
testing this Cambridge Audio thing at the moment. It's called the Evo 75, I believe. Very nice.
It's a hi-fi receiver.
Well, it's a sort of streaming hi-fi box. Has an amplifier built in. Can drive speakers, obviously. But mostly, it's almost like it's a sort of receptacle for internet content, really. I mean, it's got HDMI inputs and stuff like that, so you can plug in anything you want, basically games console, whatever. But I was interested in it more down because it's got this great big screen on the front that enables you to see cover art and all that kind of stuff. It just looks like a really nice experience. It's very good indeed, actually. I've been really enjoying having it. The thing that struck me coming from an older, quite rubbish, I mean, not rubbish, but just a lower end piece of hardware, was just how bad the bass delivery is on it. This one, it's plugged into my subwoofer, much more moderate, but much tighter, much nicer to listen to. Really feels like like the subwoofer becomes an essential part of it rather than just sort of adding noise. And with my speakers, which are quite nice, it sounds phenomenal. Very good.
I look forward to a full review. I assume you're working on one.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm working on. It did have a little bug. It stopped working with my computer optical audio out. But they did a firmware update and it seems to have come back, which is quite good.
Oh, good. I'm pleased to hear that. Well, if you have any views on the rumor about Apple adding Dolby Atmos audio, my speculation about live music and whatnot, you can send us some emails to uktechshow@icloud.com. Let's don our speedos. They're a bit tight around the midsection after the last month, but I need them to dive into a pool of feedback. We did a bit at the top of the show, and we're going to do a little bit more now. We had this come in while we're away from Tony, who says, I just wanted to add to your conversation on using up your mobile data each month. I'm in Australia with the Optus network. I get around 170 gigabytes a month, which is shared with my partner and gets used on several different devices. At the end of the month, we can still have a lot of data left over, which Optus does not let us roll over. They do, however, let us donate data to charities. We can donate any amount up to 10 gigabytes at a time and can do this every 24 hours. As far as I'm aware, this donated data goes to charities like the Salvation Army, Smith Family, and other charities helping disadvantaged people who need data for school or finding jobs, etc. Tony says, I regularly donate 70 or 80 gigabytes a month, which makes me feel better about not wasting all of my unused data. All the very best, Tony.
Pretty cool.
That's a brilliant idea. I've never heard of that. I don't know if this is something that is more routinely done in other countries. It certainly doesn't seem to be a thing on any of the networks here in Britain. I don't even think across Europe, and I've never heard of it in the US on any of the major carriers there. But this is a great idea, and I can see so much potential for us to do this. I end up with tons of data left over every month, as was the point of our conversation on the episode.
Well, yes.
Before we pause the show.
Unlimited data.
But I can gift 100 gigs.
Right. Well, shame you can't gift unlimited, because then you just do that and everyone would be sorted, wouldn't they? Well, I'm going to gift unlimited data to the Salvation Army, you know, that kind of thing, and then they won't ever need to ask again.
It'd be great if you could donate it to, you know, a remote school so they can download more course materials or whatever schools need to download. It's a great idea. So thanks, Tony, for letting us know from Australia. This is the last piece of feedback I wanted to get to today, and this comes from Al Struthers, a long-term patron of the show. He says, I'm just catching up on your extra message episode from January about Signal. Al continues, I've recently moved my family chat over to Signal, but not necessarily because I wanted to. It was more that it was the best option given our hands were forced. Let me elaborate. My parents don't do smartphones. They do own an iPhone 4 that belonged to my sister and also an aging Android tablet. The tablet started having many issues and I combined them to get a Wi-Fi only iPad. I think it might mean convince. Convinced them to get a basic Wi-Fi only iPad as a replacement. This caused unforeseen issues. They had a hacked version of WhatsApp on the Android tablet that was used for family chat. Without having a SIM in the new iPad and with the hack no longer valid, WhatsApp was not an option. iMessage was also not an option, as other members of the family use Android phones. I asked the text message Discord, and the consensus was give Signal a go. We've also swapped over, and for the most part, it's great. Has all the features I liked about WhatsApp, and basically looks like the same, so easy enough to convert the parentals. Interestingly, I've still had to hack this one. Initially, we got them up and running using their iPhone 4, but it's so old, it can only run a legacy version of Signal. And after a week or two, Signal forced us to upgrade the conversation to a new version, and it kicked their folks out of the chat, so was no good. Al says, my solution, deleted Signal from the phone, sign in with my dad's number, link his iPad, delete the app on the phone again, re-sign up as me, and that works, but I've lost my conversation history. Why, oh why, says Al, do these tablet apps insist on linking to a mobile? Why can't they just use your number, regardless of whether you have the app installed? Anyway, all working now, but my heart fell when my dad asked me to get it onto his laptop now too. Looks like I'm losing my personal history yet again. It's a good question, Al.
It is.
And I think to summarize, it's why can you not just sign up on a tablet? Why do you have to sign up on a phone and then link the devices? And I think the answer is...
It's painful, isn't it, really?
It is, and it is annoying. And I think it's a combination of speed and security, which is that in order to use a phone, you need to verify it. And to have a phone number, typically, you need to have a SIM card. And not just a Wi-Fi only device, and that's why they do it. But it is frustrating.
Yeah, I think so much of this could be improved, really, and useful for everyone if there was a bit more thought put into how people actually use these things. Like, you can't put WhatsApp on a tablet, for example, can you? Like, you can use WhatsApp in a Chrome tab on an iPad if you're using the web interface, but you can't get the app and sort of share it with your account. I guess there is an encryption issue, but even so, it's frustrating for normal users who find their experience hampered for no really obviously good reason.
I think, and with Signal in particular, a big part of the reason is privacy.
Sure, and that's a good thing. But if you're, there are ways around that, aren't there? For example, I mean, on an Apple device, there's nothing to, presumably there's nothing to stop you from sharing an encryption key across all your devices, presumably.
It's up to the app developer whether or not to bake that in. Signal wants to reduce as much as possible how much data about you or your own data is stored on their servers.
Oh, thank goodness.
So essentially the phone is the gatekeeper and the server is just a temporary conduit. And that's why some things like conversation history isn't automatically ported over. But it's one of the trade-offs that people have to pick. But if anyone has any suggestions for something Al could use that solves this specific problem of using very old Android and iPhone devices with modern ones, do let us know, uktechshow@icloud.com. Ian, we are concluding the show now. We've got through...
That went quickly.
It did, didn't it? It did. It's good to be back, and thank you to everyone who stuck with us. Extra message will follow later in the week, as ever, for our patrons who get that. And we had, at our peak, we had a lot of people listening to us live this week.
Yeah, I think we did.
15 or so people, maybe.
Might have been a world record for
20.
Us.
We had a lot of people joining us live. And if you're a patron at any level, you can join us live and listen to all of our mistakes as they occur. And however you want to support us, you can get started by going to patreon.com/UK Tech. And I'll be on This Week in Tech this week on Sunday, the day of recording, the 2nd of May, or is it the 3rd of May? It's the 2nd, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I may or may not be on another show affiliated with Mr. Tom Merritt tomorrow. You may have heard of it. It's called Daily Tech News Show.
Yeah.
Confirm or deny. But I may be. So,
very exciting. And I was on Noise Cancelling, the Tech Radar podcast.
Ah, of course. So you can get double Ian in your diet, triple Nate in your diet. It's a
talking about headphones of all things.
What
so
a time to
yeah,
be alive.
You can find that in all the normal places, including Spotify, if you're interested.
Excellent. Well, we'll include a link to that as well in the show notes.
Thanks.
For anyone who wants to get a bit of extra Morris to munch on. In the meantime, we'll see you in a week's time for another show. Have a lovely week, everybody.
Au revoir.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.